Hey, church family, Mike Seaver here with Nick and Jenna Richardson. We wanted to give you a look at what the Pastor's College was like for them and take a little more time in a podcast interview that we can't do on a Sunday morning just with time constraints, so we could be a little more unhurried and we could follow up on conversations. And hopefully this gives you a little window into their last 10 to 11 months. As well as just wanted to thank you because you guys have supported them through prayer, through finances, through lots of different means, moving help, all sorts of stuff. And so this gives you an opportunity to hear a little more in depth of how it went with the Pastor's College. So Nick and Jenna, thanks for being here and thanks for being willing to talk. So remind us why you went to the Pastor's College.
Yeah, so why did we go to the Pastor's College? Well, I think felt the call to pastoral ministry and aspired to pastoral ministry a few years ago and knew I probably would need a little bit more training theologically, doctrinally. Knew we wanted to be Sovereign Grace. The traditional seminary route didn't seem to fit our family in that season. And met with Mike and a couple of other guys in the church just to see kind of like a dating process. Let's go through a year of the pastoral epistles, read a couple other books, and then let's talk after to see if this is still an avenue you'd want to take. And we did that and still, yep, felt like this is where the Lord would have us go. And the next step we felt was the Pastor's College. Yeah, so it's not just merely academic training. It is it's a holistic training, if you will. It focuses on the character. It watches how I watch my life in doctrine. How do I lead in the home? How does he lead and serve in the local church? So that's why we went.
Okay. And you guys had lots of experience in church life. You were helping at a church plant in Vermont for 11 years, is that right?
11 years, yep. We moved back to Vermont coming out of the military in 2009, got plugged into a church, asked to be part of a church plant in the next town over from us. And so we spent the next 11 years there. I was helping as a lay pastor, if you will, with the Southern Baptist Convention. So helped lead worship, helped preach from time to time, led small groups there.
Jenna, what did you think with Pastor's College when you're thinking moving your family, uprooting? You've only been here how many years?
Been here 2 years.
2 years.
When we were asked to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then asked to go and leave home and the sacrifices for you and for Ava and for Evelyn.
Yeah.
Caleb wasn't with you at the time. He's working at a camp. But how was that for you?
Yeah, just really thought when we moved to South Carolina 2 years prior to going to the Pastor's College, just thought that a traditional seminary program was going to be pretty much our only option as far as pursuing pastoral ministry. And when we found out about the Pastor's College and were asked to consider going, it just felt like an answered prayer, just a door opening that we didn't expect, just a kindness of the Lord to have an option where our entire family could be immersed in,
That's good.
In pastoral ministry training, because it's really not just, Nick that is going to enter into this. It's our entire family. And so I think I was just excited for the holistic approach. And, I wasn't that excited to move again, but just felt really confirmed that the Lord was answering this prayer of ours that we had for so many years. And so I had the faith for it in that moment.
That's awesome. And you mentioned, Nick, just the need for kind of theological training. So you had some pastoral experience.
Mm-hmm.
How did you sense that? I'm guessing some people listen to this and they're pondering their own call to ministry or thoughts on what God's doing in their lives. How did you discern that? Because I remember you saying that to me pretty early on. You're like, okay, I've got reps over here on doing some ministry, some counseling, some leading worship, some preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I need help, though, on the, like, I haven't been trained much.
Right.
So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think, I just felt like I needed help in understanding scripture as a whole, from Genesis to Revelation. So, and also convictionally, why do I believe what I believe? Is it because John Piper and these other guys believe it, and I've read their books, and it's, yeah, that sounds good. I think I felt like this would help me be immersed in the Word, and trained by pastor theologians that could help me see God's Word for what it is, and to so that I could better serve the people that I would temporarily be entrusted to me as I enter into pastoral ministry. Yeah, so that's
good. So talk to us about, like, a week in the life of a PC student. So what's how many classes? At 36 classes.
Yeah.
And so what does each week kind of look like?
Sure. So, well, we'll start. Let's start with Sunday. We were plugged into the local church there that hosts the Pastor's College, Sovereign Grace Church of Louisville. We're considered members there. So normal committed members plugged in on Sunday mornings and spent the afternoons with the family, tried to get with Ava on the regular Sunday afternoons. Her and I would do coffee and then just kind of prepare for the week. Mondays were off for the students. I say that with air
quotes. Yeah, they can't see.
Off Mondays, which was used primarily to catch up on work, prepare for the next week. And then Tuesday through
Friday.
And
you're not talking about work, like you weren't working there. You're talking about school.
Primary okay, academics. Just making, yep.
Sure, that's clear.
Tuesday through Friday in the classroom, 25 to 30 hours of lecture time, some practical stuff in there. And then on top of that was 300 to 400 pages of reading a week, and also preparing to write anywhere from 5 to 10 page paper on what we had learned that week, as well as some sort of an examination, whether that be essay question exam or multiple choice. So that's a typical week. And then 25 to 35 hours in the classroom, like I said, and probably another 25 to 30 outside of homework to be done, as well as you're expected to be plugged into community groups. And I led the men's group there. Jenna led a women's group. Ava was plugged into the youth group. So it really gives you the feel for pastoral ministry.
And every morning you have Greek, or most mornings, right?
Yep. So three days a week we had Greek.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have your lecture of whatever the class is.
That's correct.
And then you would, you're done around 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yep, done around then 5 o'clock, unless Jeff Perswell was teaching. We never kind of knew.
I remember that.
Yeah, we never knew what time we were going to get out with Jeff, which was fine. We could sit under Jeff's teaching for days on end. So yeah, got out around 5, get home around 5:30, and then I committed to, while the girls were awake, I was home. And what I mean by that, not just physically home, but home intentional with them.
That's great.
And then I saved my work until they went to bed. So I would spend time with them from around 5 to probably 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then it was hitting the books again. And about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then up bright and early the next morning.
Yeah, so you're going to bed midnight.
Yep. Most nights.
What time did you go
to bed?
Yeah, did you like stay up and read with him, or?
I think at the beginning,
yeah.
And then
you're,
I realized,
like, I'm gonna study with you.
Yeah. She quickly realized this is not sustainable.
Like,
yeah.
Wait,
for anyone.
I'm gonna have to do this for 10 months.
Kristen would
not
do that either. She's like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Okay, so up the next morning, getting ready for Greek again.
Yeah,
morning. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you lost weight. Wow, you're like the first guy I've ever met that lost weight at Pastor's College, because you're sitting there and studying.
Yeah.
I remember how that, I bought an exercise bike just to try to get exercise while I was reading.
Yeah, some guys bought treadmills.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that at the beginning. And
that's
awesome. If Pastor's College wasn't challenging enough, I needed another challenge. So they said, it's like, most guys put on 20 pounds, and I said, no way, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm already heavy as it is, so I committed to not doing that.
I am proud of you. That's awesome. All right, so what are some of the, or you didn't do Saturday. What did you do on Saturdays?
Yeah, so that was talked about It really depended. Some weeks were lighter than others, as far as academics go. So sometimes I would say, babe, I need Saturday. Or, you know, I could give Saturday morning. Typically, I would spend time with them until about noon, and then Evelyn would go down for a nap, Ava would jump on her homework, and then I'd go to the classroom and just work all night.
A lot of the wives' events were planned for Saturday mornings. Okay. So we were kind of in the rhythm of me being gone for a couple hours on Saturdays, and so Nick spending time with the kids in the morning and then kind of releasing him once I got back to go study and work.
Yeah, what were the wives' events? Explain what that was and kind of how... You mentioned earlier this is a holistic family thing. It's not just a student going off to seminary to have their classes. What was included for the wives?
Yeah, so the wives had monthly meetings with Julie Perswell, Jeff's wife, and Kristen Chesmore, who was the wife of the pastor over the PC families. And so we would have like a three and a half hour meeting. Betsy Ricucci would teach. And so she took us through it, probably 10 sessions of just what does it mean to be the wife of a pastor? And what does that look like? And what does scripture speak to that? And, you know, and really encouraging. Grew in my, you know, theological understanding of the word and just in relationship. It was just a time to connect to as wives because we all homeschooled and we all were home with little kids. All of the wives this year had littles at home. And so we didn't get a lot of time together. So this was a good time of connection. And then one other Saturday morning a month, I would lead just the wives. So just the six of us would get together, and we went through a book together all year. And that was a really sweet time. Prayed for one another, shared one another's burdens. And because we had women that were from other countries and spoke different languages, it was just... Without those times, we probably wouldn't come away with a relationship with one another. It was just really important for us to have those.
Yeah, speak to that. That was one of the things I wanted to ask about. So I've taught at the Pastor's College, I don't know, 10 years. And this was one of the most unique classes because it was majority Latino.
Yeah.
So you've got, I remember talking to you, Jenna, and you're like, trying to have conversations with some ladies, and there's one lady that didn't speak any English, right?
Yeah, we had interpreters multiple times.
Yeah.
For these meetings.
So it was, you had mostly people who spoke Spanish, one Portuguese, because they're from Brazil, and then it was two Anglos, right? Two Anglo
That's
couples.
It, man. Yeah.
So what was the mix, both maybe with the wives and some different things you learned there, or both obstacles and joys that you experienced, as well as in the class, Nick, with that, because this is a very unique, but I honestly think that's the future of our denomination of Sovereign Grace, is we are going to be heavily Latino and heavily not a bunch of white guys like in the room. So that's where we're going. Yeah. And this PC class felt like a tipping point of change, which was really encouraging, even teaching.
I think almost every professor hit on that. I remember several of them saying, Nick, Gil, look around. This is the future. Just the way things are happening in the Hispanic community, it's really sweet to see. And it just makes you realize, it just helps you envision, like, we're not the only thing going on here. And Sovereign Grace is a global community of churches, which is really sweet. And we get to be a part of that. So, it was really neat experience.
Yeah, I think for me it was really challenging, like trying to lead a group of ladies from different backgrounds and different cultures and different languages. And we didn't have interpreters at our meetings, just us. So from the beginning, it was just a challenge to even communicate with one another. Wow. And by the end, it was just a sweet, sweet friendship, you know, just friendships that we had developed. It was cool to like have a picture of the church universal, like in a room, like in a, you know, in a small setting. It was just like, wow, you know, they're praying in their native language and we're just sharing, and there's, you know, other ladies are interpreting for some. And it was really really sweet to see in the end. It was challenging in the beginning, but by the end, yeah, the Lord just did a lot of work in our lives.
Yeah. Very good. Awesome. I know Mario tried to recruit you at least one time to his church plant in
Tampa.
That does probably weekly. Yes. Knowing Mario, I look forward to having him come up.
And it would be
because
I
want our church to know him.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
He's
funny. We've talked about that. Yeah, Mario and I would be in the classroom sometimes first, and he'd be like, "Hey man, seriously, just think about it."
That does not surprise me at all.
Risen Hope would not like that.
No, we would not. We don't want them to steal you. Any other things on that front of the difference in the cultures and stuff?
yeah, I mean, it's you learn that it humbles you in a way where my fast pace doesn't really always line up with these different cultures. You know, the brother from Portugal, they do things differently. So I would try to counsel him, and he'd be like, "Yeah, great, that doesn't work here." Like, so I learned very quickly. I need to take this a lot slower, as we all did, to try to learn that. But it was just cool to see the Lord advancing and building His church all across the globe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and now we have connections everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm not going to let Nick speak to this next question, but I want you to, Jenna. Because Nick's not going to like that I ask it. So Nick won the leadership award.
Yes.
And what would you like to say just about that? What you saw, maybe growth in him, or how you saw that displayed? Obviously, all the students saw it because they voted for him to receive it. So I mentioned it to our church family before you guys moved because I told them Nick wouldn't want me to say it, but I was going to say it anyway. So talk to me about that, what you saw and why he got that.
Yeah. I mean, I would say from the very beginning, he just stepped into that role with the group of guys that he had. I think because of Nick's leadership and just who he is, he was able to bring that group together so fast that, like, just his humility and sharing his own struggles allowed them to share quickly. Because there were cultural, you know, barriers and language barriers at first, he just created like the space for them all to just really knit themselves together in such a fast, you know, time that, like, I saw it from just the outside of just, yeah, creating a space where people felt comfortable and opening up, being honest, even when there were barriers culturally to, you know, maybe some cultures, they don't do that on, you know, that's not a normal part of, you know, they don't just open everything up to everybody right away. And yeah, Nick was just able to bring them all together in a cohesive, they were so close. It's just really cool to see them bond and connect the way that they did. But I think that was in large part due to his leadership from the very start. I think he just like took that on right away.
That's sweet.
I love how surprised you were when you got the award. Though none of us were surprised, but that you were surprised just spoke to your humility on that. All right, what are two or three biggest takeaways from Pastor Scott? And you can do more than three if you've got like a whole list, but like what do you anticipate? Like, man, that was something I'll take with me. Like, there are things Kristen and I still talk about from 15 years ago in Pastor's College of I remember learning that there, and that still applies to our parenting or our marriage or how we counsel people or whatever.
I'll start with one. Just the weightiness of pastoral ministry, and what I'm about to step into and being called, what I believe being called by the Lord to do, to shepherd the flock, if we use that term from 1 Peter, and that there's a responsibility there to care for souls and to point them to the Lord. And I think the Pastor's College quickly made me realize this is not primarily just about academics and theological understanding. It was It was much more than that, and also helped me realize that I can't do this on my own, and that I need the Lord. So the way the PC is designed is to bring you to that moment where you just realize, God, I need you to help me here, to lead me in this, in all aspects, as a husband, as a father, academically. So I think that is the biggest takeaway for me, is to cast it all to the Lord. Do what I can do in faith, and then the rest of it, like, Lord, here's this assignment. This is the best I could give you. Lord, here's the best I could give you in this counseling situation, and just trusting God in that. I think that was a big one for me. And slowing down. So here's the second one. Slowing down, and that goes for everything. Slowing down with my wife, and listening to her and leading her. Slowing down with my kiddos in listening to them and pointing them to the Lord. Slowing down in all relationships, and just being there to hear and to listen, and to point them to Christ. And that this is a long game. This is not something that's production oriented and just gets done. I think that's something that the Lord showed me, is you gotta go easier.
That's good.
I think for me, well, the biggest one that sort of became a theme of my time, especially just initially getting settled in there, is it was a time of stripping away, in a sense. You know, we come out of serving Risen Hope and just, I mean, we had served at a church plant and done everything there too for 11 years prior. And so just this long season of a lot of serving, and realizing when that was all stripped away, like, okay, I think I've placed some of my identity in this. And what does that mean? You know? And so the Lord just really worked on me initially. It was really painful at first. That stripping away of, okay, it's not about you serving me. It's about you getting me and receiving from me. So, the biggest takeaway is just that I need to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him before I can pour out anything to anybody else. Just that picture of, you know, Martha and Mary doing the one thing, the better thing, was sitting at Jesus' feet and receiving from him. Mm-hmm. And the serving was good. Like, Martha was serving and that was good, but Mary was doing the better thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just the importance of sitting and receiving, and then out of that, then serving Christ and his people.
Yeah, I think that to piggyback on that, we all went through that. Me, Ava, and Jenna, just, it's like you come up against a wall, right? You're coming out of this sweet time, like she said, serving in the local church, I'm working full time, and then you come out of that, and you literally hit this wall of, like, it's you and the Lord and your family, and things are revealed, things you thought you've dealt with. So we all kind of had these really hard, painful moments of just working through sin, and doing that together. So that knit us together. So we were able to kind of go through that together. So it was really cool to see how close we grew, just as a family unit. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think individually and as a family, it was this picture of this stripping away and then this slow rebuilding, or, you know, renewal process that happened. And is still in process. Like, I'm still processing things. I'm still, dealing with sin that was revealed during this season. And it's just sweet to see, like, the process now, looking back, of, okay, he stripped away things that needed to be stripped away, and he, in his kindness, is reshaping and rebuilding.
What was cool about it is it happened to us at different times. Mm-hmm. So we were able to come alongside Ava. She had it was a hard couple of months to get out the outset for a 15-year-old girl, as you can imagine. And we were just able to come alongside her. And then, you know, stuff hit me, and they came alongside me and pointed me to the Lord and encouraged me. And then, you know, with Jenna, it was really cool to do that. That's together. Awesome.
Seems like the Lord, I remember Kristen talking about this several times. I think she told you guys this. I've heard her tell other couples that are getting ready to do pastor's college. Is that it seems like the Lord has handcrafted, designed things to help each couple, family, go through a pastor's college. For us, we were living in a basement. It was one of Kristen's harder times in life. And actually preparing us for some more hardship. But it was like teaching about contentment, like that was her theme for the pastor's college year. And so we still have a picture in our bedroom of where we lived that year because it was such a dungeon.
Yeah.
But it's like remembering how the Lord met us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a messy looking picture. It's not like what you normally put on the wall.
That's right.
But Kristen was, it was just really encouraging to her. Like God taught us stuff that year.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a stone of remembrance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of like, remember what the Lord did. Which might be something for you guys to think about. Do you have a stone of remembrance? Maybe even a tangible item.
Yeah.
That's like, this is our pastor's college stone of remembrance that you can have for in your house or bedroom or whatever.
We actually did that.
So, did you really?
Yeah.
So that's
awesome. So one of the other PC families that we're very close with that live just...
The next
like,
door over.
Yeah, the next door over. We would have Sunday family dinners with them every Sunday night. And our last family dinner, she and I went and picked stones from our... We had like a ditch in the middle of our apartment complex. And we went and took stones from that ditch. And then we each went around and just took some time to reflect and like, okay, can we distill down in one or two words something that'll fit on this stone of just like what... how we saw God work this year, God's faithfulness to us individually. So everyone had, you know, a different word. And it's like, take that home. And that, you know, when you see that, it's like, that's what God did, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good.
That's awesome. That's good. And that impacts us. Like, he still does that.
Yeah.
He's not just doing that in Louisville. He's doing that here through different seasons.
Absolutely.
That's good. How do you think, I mean, I can pull on threads here, but I want you to pull on the threads. Like, how do you think your pastor's college experience will affect the way you minister to people here now at Risen Hope?
Like I said before, I think it made me realize the weightiness of pastoral ministry. And that this is a long game and you're dealing with other image bearers, caring for people's souls, and that you need to take this slow. I tend to go pretty fast at things. So I think that was one theme that the Lord revealed to me is it's time to, you got to slow down a little bit here. So I think that'll be a big one. It taught me a lot about, how do I say this? I think, you know, the training in God's word and helping me understand that so that I can also help people maybe understand that have questions. Not that I have all the answers now, by no means. I still don't know, but I was able to form a lot of convictions there that I thought I had before that I didn't, which will help me be more clear in responses to help answer questions. So I think in leading folks in that way, hopefully through the preaching of the word, I grew, I think, in that, which is will be hopefully serve the church.
Yeah.
I think probably the biggest thing that comes to mind is just... this idea of just our desire of wanting to spend our lives on Christ and his church. And so I remember sitting up on the stage in our interview before with you, Mike, before we left for the PC. And one of the questions was just how can the church be praying? And our biggest prayer request was just that we would fall more in love with Jesus. And that prayer was answered while we were there. And so we're coming back with a deeper knowledge, understanding, and love for Jesus and for his church. And I think one thing that was confirmed early on was just as we were embedded in a new local church and started going through the PC, just like, we love this church, but it's not our church. And Risen Hope is our church, and our people are there, and we want to serve them. And so, yeah, just coming away with just a deep desire to spend my life for Christ and his church.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. We are super excited to have you back. Thanks for taking the time and the sacrifice and the reading and the moving and the planning and the pouring out of your lives, really laying down your lives in many ways for those 10, 11 months to serve our church family. And I think we will all reap reward from that. And we're just really grateful for the sacrifice you guys made. And personally, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you're going to be one of my pastors, Nick. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And to learn from you, Jenna. Like, I've already learned a lot from you. Appreciate you guys' friendship. And I'm excited to do this journey together.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity. And we're excited to get back and just share, just to share with the church, look what God has done because you gave, you prayed, you encouraged us to do this. And so that has impacts on not just Risen Hope, but generationally, you know. So that's God building his church using every member of the body, and we get to be a part of that. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to do it, and grateful for this church and the people that helped us make that.
Church family, thanks for taking 30-ish minutes to listen to this. We are grateful for you guys, and hopefully this was helpful for you to get a window into the Richardson's PC experience. I'd encourage you to have them over for dinner, get time with them to hear more thoughts. But we love you guys, and we hope to that this blesses you. Bye-bye.